Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 10 lines from the top of Daf Chof Beis. We must apologize for the technical difficulties that arose at the end of our previous recording. In effect, we ended off in the middle of a discussion. So without any further introduction, let us pick up from the very point that we left off with, where our recording ended. 10 lines from the top. We're in the middle of what's an analysis of the source, Shotaf Nohor Kairov. And we ask, once you tell me that the source is talking about a case where the owner could have saved it, I hachi eimo seifa, im hoyu habaylim miradfim achareihem chayov lahachsir. It said in the continuation of that source, dealing with the river sweeping away a person's beams, wood, and stones, if the owner was running after them, was in pursuit of them, then you have to return it to the owner. Well, if that's the circumstance of the source, and it's in that fashion that you explained the ratio so as to avoid a question on Rava, my ear Miratfim, then why speak about the owner running after it in pursuit of it? Afilu ein Miratfinami, even if the owner is not in pursuit of it, but he's able to save it, so he wouldn't give up hope on it, and therefore it should be returned. And yet in the Reisha it says you are entitled to keep it. The Gemara answers, Hocha b'mayaskinon, the source dealing with the river washing away your beams, wood, and stones, is speaking under the following circumstances. B'yachoylim lahatzil al yedei hadchak. With effort, the owner would be able to save it. Miradfin lo ayayish. If, as the Seifa says, the owner is in actual pursuit, he's willing to trouble himself, to go through the dachak, the extra efforts. So then we say the owner is not giving up hope. Ein miradfin, if the owner is not in pursuit of it, of his items, Ayushi miayish, then the owner has given up hope on it. Rashi says, Ayidei adchak, with efforts, with exertion. Rashi continues, he says, V'imlo yemayir lahatzil, if he doesn't hasten in trying to recover his items, lo yatzilo, he won't be able to save them. Hilkoch, therefore, ein miradfin, when the owner is not in pursuit of it, afkuri afgerinhu, he is renouncing ownership of them. Daha yadu velo hitzilu. They were aware of its loss and they didn't trouble themselves to save it. Once again, as far as the continuation of the source, where we inferred what would have been a kasha on Rava, so Rashi already explained that the inferred case would have involved an item that has a simen in it. And, of course, in a case like that, Rava concedes that you must return it to the owner. So, as you can see, there is no kasha from triangle number 9 on Rava. To restate the issue then, that in the course of this discussion from triangle number 9 till this point, we're not dealing with a situation of something that was lost, and initially the owner experienced a state of let's say an item without a simen on it that was lost without initial awareness of the owner. So since we're not discussing that kind of case, we don't have any kashas here on Rava. Rava was addressing, as we emphasized in our previous shiur, Rava was addressing a case where you're dealing with a lost item that did not have a simen on it, didn't have an identification mark or a sign on it, and the owner initially was not aware of its loss, but when becoming aware, would give up hope on seeing it. Toshma, we continue. Now, in our previous shiur, we spent time introducing the entire sugya, and we mentioned that there would be cases cited, and here you're going to have a classic example of that, of something that's not dealing with straightforward lost and found financial cases involving ownership of items of value. Here we're going to go into the realm of tithes, of the truma tithe, and it's imperative for us to be able to extract a principle from the discussion of Rava and Abaye concerning Yehu Shalom Idas, and apply that principle to other realms of halacha, and in doing so we'll be able to use other Tanaic sources from those other realms in order to evaluate which opinion is more reliable, Abaye versus Rava. So as we go through this discussion, we'll eventually point out the principle and see how this number 10 is in fact going to be a kasha on Abaye, initially a kasha on Abaye. The source, Toshma, Ketzad Omru HaTorim Shalomidas Trumosev Truma. Under what circumstances would we say that if someone tithed someone else's produce without the owner's knowledge, the tithe is nevertheless binding? Right away, you can see that we're dealing with a case where there's an initial unawareness. That serves as a tie-in to our discussion of Yehu Shalom Idas, where we were dealing with initial unawareness. In the case of Yehu Shalom Idas, initial unawareness of the item's absence, the owned item's absence. The owner was not aware that it fell from him, that he lost it. Here we have tithing without owner's awareness, and yet the tithing is considered a legally acceptable tithe. Hare shiyara d'soich steh chavero v'likei, a person descended into someone else's field, gathered produce, v'toram shelo b'rshus, and tithed without permission. Im choshesh mishum gezel, ein trumas truma. If there's reason to suspect that he's viewed as a thief, then the tithing is not a good tithing. V'im lav, and if that's not the case, trumas truma, then the tithing is good. Uminayan hu yoda im choshesh mishum gezel v'im lav, and from where would we know whether or not there is suspicion on the part of the owner that this guy who did the tithing is a thief? There's a way to evaluate that. Hare shebo bala bayis umotzai, if the owner came along and found this fellow, v'yomar lo, and the owner says, klach etzel yofos, why don't you take from the better stuff? Why don't you tithe from the better produce? Him nimsu yofos mehen trumoso truma. If in reality there is a better produce there, if you find better produce, then the tithing that you did already is a good tithing. In other words, the owner is happy with what you have done. Was simply suggesting, you know, you could have tithed even better stuff. But there's no objection on the part of the owner per se. V'im lav, if there is no better produce there, ain trumaso truma, then the tithing that you did is not truma, is not a binding, is not a legally acceptable tithe. And why is that? Because when the owner said, why don't you take from the better stuff, he was saying it very sarcastically. he was in effect saying, what are you doing over here? You have no right to come into my field to tie the produce. Liktoi habaylin vosifu alehem, if after this fellow who tithed the other party's produce, then the owner came along and added to the tithing, then benkach hu benkach chumasir truma, whether it is better stuff or there's no better stuff, it shows that the owner is satisfied with the tithing that took place through his actions of adding to it. We continue. V'chinimtsu yofus mem trumasa truma. And we said that if in fact there was better produce there, then the tithing that this fellow did is a legally binding tithing. And when something is considered a legally binding tithe, that means it's declared as truma. The truma tithe is given to kohanim. Non-kohanim are forbidden in eating from it. And the balance of the produce is chulin. Now, why though, if you find better produce, is the tithing action that this fellow did acceptable? Amai, why is it good? Be'idno de Torah, at the time he was doing the actual tithing, ha lo ave yoda, the owner was unaware. Oh, and later he becomes aware and is approving of it. We see that the later state of mind of the owner retroactively sheds light on the time of the earlier action. That is in line with Rava's way of thinking and not in accordance with Abaye's way of thinking. Abaye evaluated, in the case of the found lost article, he evaluated the state of the state of things at the time of the finding, the time of the, we'll say, the action of recovering the item. Similarly here, let's evaluate the situation at the time of the tithing. The time of the tithing, the man was working without the knowledge of the owner, without his approval, without permission. And yet, the subsequent revelation sheds light on the time of the action, legitimatizing it. That's a problem for Abaye. Tirgim Rava Aliba Dabai. Here we have a stroke of honesty of the Shas. Rava, who you would have figured would be very happy with this kasha on his adversary and just be done with it, but not so. Rava is interested in the absolute truth. Is this source a real kasha on my adversary? So Rava explains on behalf of Abaye the Shavya Shaliach. The owner had actually been aware at the outset in the sense that he appointed an agent for the tithing. So that the source is not relevant to the Yehu Shalomi Das discussion. Just to repeat, because in this case we were dealing with awareness on the part of the owner that the tithing would take place before the tithing ever took place. So awareness of an owner preceded the action. The situation that Abaye discussed was the action of finding the item in the case of Leish Shomidas preceded the awareness of the owner. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. In fact, in this piece of Gemara, there's a subsequent internal brackets, angular brackets, you'll see later. But if you follow your bracket length indicator, it'll take you down to the second line from the bottom at the end of the line where you see an inverted triangle. So that at this point, in terms of the general structure, we had a kasha on Abaye, and we have an answer to the kasha on Abaye. Second line from the bottom, the Gemara proceeds with another source, number 11, and in that case, Akasha on Rava. What happens in the meantime? So first of all, you'll notice we have a nun with a descending vertical dashed line. Nun is a nekuda, a long point. The Gemara makes a long point. And at the end of the long point, you'll notice the angular brackets. And the relevance of the section of Gemara in the angular brackets is a piece of Gemara that has relevance, but not with regard to the law of tithing, but we're rather going to borrow an idea from the law above concerning tithing and apply it to a story that the Gemara will share with us within the angular bracketed section. Everything that we just said, we've included in a starred note on the side of the Gemara, and it reads, let's read the starred note together. Sograyim tof sograyim. We indicate that there's a brackets here within a brackets. Achreya sograyim, curlicue shapes sograyim brackets. Hagemara mamshicha im sidra sachichas benoisi yeshalomidas. The Gemara will continue with its sources, its proofs, to one side or the other regarding the topic of Yeush Shelo Midas, the topic that we started in our previous shir. Besochas Agrayim, within the bracketed section, Agamor Mochicho de Shavya Shliach, the more will prove that the answer that Rava gave on behalf of Abaye concerning the Truma case is one involving the owner appointing an agent for tithing prior to the tithing. Within the internal brackets, yesh maise hakoshu l'mishpat klach etzel yofois. There'll be a story in which the phrase, why don't you go take the better stuff, will appear. So that as I said before, that latter part of Gemara, the last bracketed, the angular bracketed piece of Gemara, which you can see is about eight lines of Gemara, is not directly related to the laws of tithing. With the structure having been laid out, you're aware that we're going to return to our series of sources regarding Yeush Shelo Midas at the second line from the bottom. Let's now continue straight through the Gemara in the brackets, the beginning of our long point. Hachi Nami Mistabra. And Rava's answer that he gave on behalf of Abaye, namely the Shavya Shlich, is also most likely. The Salka Daitach of Shavya Shaliach, if you were to think that there was no appointed agent, in other words, if you were to think like we thought originally that some guy just came on his own and started diving, Miavya Chumasa Truma, would the Truma be legitimate to begin with? The Pasuk says, Atem Gam Atem. In other words, in the Pasuk itself, it says, Gam Atem. Omar Rachmono, L'Rabbos Shluchachem. Not only you, which is the word Atem, but the word Gam appears in the verse to include tithing through an agent, your Shaliach, your agent. Ma Atem L'Datchem, just like when the owner himself does the tithing, he is aware. Af shluchachem l'daitchem. So too, when your agent ties, it must be with your awareness, with the owner's awareness. In other words, awareness at the outset. Elohocha b'mayaskinon kegon deshav yeshaliach. So rather, as we said before, we're talking about in the source that began with triangle number 10 above, the owner established an agent. V'omar le zil trom. And he said, go and tithe. The lo amale trome honey. He didn't say tithe from these. He was kind of open in his appointment or establishing of agency. Ustame de balabayas, the assumed behavior on the part of owners, kitarim mibeinin esutarim. He tithes from the average quality produce that he has. And in the case featured above in the Tanaic source, our agent went and tithed from top quality, from good quality stuff, from the, let's say, top quality stuff. And the owner came along and found the agent tithing from the Yafos, not from the Bainus. Bainus is middle quality, average quality. And he saw the agent tithing from better stuff. The Omar lay, and the owner said, "Klachet Zol Yafos, why don't you take from the from the nice stuff. If in fact there's better stuff than that which the agent tithed from, then the agent's action is acceptable, is good, is binding. If not, if there isn't any better stuff, what was the owner saying when he said, "Oh, go take the better stuff"? He was being sarcastic. He was expressing his dissatisfaction with the agent taking from top quality stuff when the owner himself wouldn't have done so. The owner would have taken from bainanus, middle quality stuff. So the agent behaved beyond the parameters of his agency, and therefore ain't shuma so truma. If in the case after the owner said, "Why don't you take from the better stuff?" there was no better stuff, then it shows that the truma that the agent tithed is not with the approval of the owner, it's not acceptable in the owner's eyes. Just to repeat the main point, though, as far as this situation, the discussion concerning the truma, it does not involve an initial unawareness on the part of the owner. The owner was aware at the outset that the tithing would be done through agency. And hence, it has no relevance to the machloikis between Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava argued over a case where there was no initial awareness on the part of the owner of the lost item. And we indicated before in our extensive introduction to this section that here we have a story, and the tie-in is the phrase of Klachi Tzilyafos. But it doesn't have to do, this story does not have anything to do with the laws of tithing. Ameimar Mazutra Varavashi Ikleru Lebustana Demori Bar Isik. These three great rabbinic figures visited the orchard, the bustana, the garden, or the orchard of Mori Bar Isik. Aisi Arise Tamri Vrimoni, Mori Bar Isak's sharecropper, came along with tamri, with dates, Rimoni, and pomegranates, Vishoda Kamayo, and spread it out in front of them. In other words, offering them to eat from it. Ameimar Vravashi, Achli, these two Rabbonan accepted and ate from it. Marzutra lo ochil, but Marzutra would not eat from it. The issue here involves does the sharecropper have a right to give these visitors produce that belongs to the owner? Adahachi asa Mori Bar Isak. In the meantime, the owner came along. Mori Bar Isak came, Ashkechinu, and he found them. V'yomalei Larise, and he says to his sharecropper, Amaylo Aisis Lehu Rabbona Mehanach Shapirta. Why didn't you serve the rabbis these better stuff, better quality stuff? Amalei Amemar V'Ravashi LeMarzutra. So the two rabbis that partook of what the sharecropper offered them turned to Marzutra and said, Hashta Milo Ochimor. Well, now, why do you continue resisting eating? Vahatanya, did we not learn in Ninsu Yafo Ismehan Trumaso Truma? And that we saw in the source above. If the owner came along and saw the agent tithing, and the owner said, why don't you take from the better stuff? And if you actually found better stuff, the tithe is a good tithe. The owner is as happy, as satisfied. Here, the owner is saying to the sharecropper, why don't you give from the better stuff? That shows satisfaction on the part of the owner of what the sharecropper was offering these visitors. So the question is on Marzutra, why do you continue not eating? You see the owner is satisfied. Omar Lahu, Amemar, Marzutra says back, Hochi Omar Rava. Marzutra responds, And he says, thusly says Rava, Lo omru klachi tzilyofos elin truma bilvad. The expression on the part of the owner, why don't you take from the better stuff, revealing approval on the part of the owner is limited to the case of tithing. Mishum de mitzvahu, because that is a mitzvah. There's a fulfillment of a Torah precept. V'nichale, and the owner is happy that the fulfillment of the mitzvah of truma would be done with the better stuff. Avol hacha, in the case of hosting the guests, the owner's reaction, why didn't you take from the better stuff, isn't because he is really happy with the oris offering the guests anything at the outset. Rather, it's an expression that he says, Mishum kisufu di amarachi. He said so out of embarrassment. In other words, in his heart of hearts, this owner, Mori Bar Yisik, didn't want the sharecropper giving any produce to the guests. He found himself in this uncomfortable position where they were already being served the stuff, so to save face or to cover his real emotions, out of embarrassment, he said what he did. But it's not a sign of approval whatsoever. And hence, Marzutra's resistance can be justified. As we approach question number 11, we will reiterate that point we made earlier, that we're going to now extend ourselves into realms of halacha that on the face of things have nothing to do with Yeush Shalomidas, which is a realm of financial concern, who is the owner of a lost item. We already experienced this a bit when we discussed the case of tithing, and we established that we have to focus on a principle, and the principle being a state of initial unawareness of the owner or the concerned party, and only subsequent awareness. Does the subsequent awareness or revelation shed light on the situation prior to the revelation, to the awareness? The realm we're going to discuss now has to do with the general topic of tumos and taros, of defilement. A rule concerning defilement of food items, of produce, is that the fruit, let's use fruit as an example, is not subject to becoming defiled unless it was exposed to wetness, to water. For as an example, where the fruit became wet, and you, as the owner of the fruit, were happy with its having become wet. The standard case of that is people are interested in having their fruits washed off of dust, of dirt, or what have you. And once a fruit becomes subjected to wetness, even if it is subsequently dried off, but the fact that it was wet and it was with your approval, it makes the fruit mukhshir lekabel tuma, subject to becoming defiled. And the standard example of that would be a dead sheretz touches the fruit or whatever other source of tuma, the sheretz being one of the creatures that the Torah enumerates, eight in total, that when they're dead, they communicate defilement. The fruit that comes into contact with, let us say, a dead mouse, will the fruit become defiled? Well, it all depends on the fruit having been wet. And as we'll see in the Gemara, been wet and with your approval. Now, let us go into the text with focus on the details. Toshma odeu hatal alehen v'somach, if the dew is still on the fruits and the owner is happy with that. The Rashi cites the background to this case where a person was bringing his fruits up to his rooftop, and dew fell on it. And the owner was happy with the dew that fell on it. The source tells us if the dew is still on it and the owner is happy with that, with the dew that fell onto this fruits, hareze b'chi yutan. Fruits are b'chi yutan. B'chi, without translating the pasuk literally, it means that the fruits are subject to defilement. They've become mukshu l'kabel tuma. Nigvu. Nigvu means dried off. If they were dried off, and Rashi adds very importantly, before the owner noticed them, before he found his fruits, they got dried off. Af alpi sha someach, even though he is now happy with the dew that had fallen on them. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Einon Bechi Yutan. They are not considered Mukhshe L'Kabel Tumah. The wetness doesn't accomplish that, doesn't accomplish making it Mukhshe L'Kabel Tumah. Rashi at the top line says, Einon Bechi Yutan, V'lo Amrinon, and we do not say, Kevon Dahashta Nicha, now that the owner is happy, Mahani Hai Daito Lemei Koro Vatevi Hechsher, that his current awareness, call it his subsequent awareness, we don't say sheds light on the initial wetness that the fruits had experienced. Oh, and as Rashi says, Vikashya Larova. And this is a difficulty for Rava. And now the Gemara elaborates. We continue in the Gemara on the top line. Taimomai, why is it that you say that the fruits are not mukshar l'kabel tum, even though the owner is happy now, and it's wetness with owner's approval now? Why does that not shed light on the initial state of wetness as being capable of mukshar l'kabel tum? Lav mishum, is it not because the loy amrinon, we do not say kevon digloy milso tahashto nichole mikoro nami nichole. In other words, all of that, you can see we have single quotation marks around that whole phrase, that we do not say that since there's retroactive revelation of his satisfaction, that since it becomes revealed that now he is happy about it, we do not say that that shows initial satisfaction. That represents then a problem for Rava. Again, here, do you notice how we extract a principle? We're looking at subsequent awareness, how that affects initial action. In this case, the action is the wetness falling upon the fruits. In the interim, the fruits got dried off. But you can see from here that we do not look at subsequent awareness, subsequent recognition of owner's satisfaction as shedding light on that initial state of the fruit becoming wet. So that you don't have fruits that became mukshu l'kabel tum, even though the owner later on expresses his satisfaction. It doesn't shed light retroactively to the back to the time that they became wet. What did Rava say in the case of Yehu Shilomidas? The owner's subsequent surrendering of recovering his item, according to Rava, does shed light on the time at which I picked up the found item, enabling me to claim it as my own. We see from the case of the fruits and the Hechshir L'Kabel Tumah that we don't allow for that. We don't say subsequent awareness sheds light on an initial state. The Gemara answers that you cannot ask a question on Rava from the case of Hechshir L'Kabel Tumah, Shiny Hossam. That case is different. It is governed by verses, by specific psukim. Dichtiv, it says, Ki Yitain. in the Torah, the reading of those word, of that word detain isn't really like that. In the Torah, the letters Yud, Tov, Nun actually appear. The way it's read, as will be pointed out very shortly in the Gemara, is V'chi Yutan Mayim Al Zera. Nevertheless, the letters as they appear is Ki Yitain, Ad Shiitain. In order for the fruits to become Mukhshir L'Kabel Tuma, you have to put the water on the fruits. And in the Seifa of this source, we saw that the fruits got dried off, and only later on you found out that they had been wet. But you didn't put the water on the fruits. Therefore, the fruits are not mukshir lekabel tuma. That's why it said einon bechiyutan. Well, I hachi reisha nami. If that be the case in the beginning of the source, where the you found dew still on the fruits, we said that the fruits became mukshir lekabel tuma. You didn't put the dew on the fruits. Why then do you say they're mukhshir l'kabel tuma? The Gemara answers, Hasam, in that case, we have an explanation. Kida Rav Papa, based on Rav Papa's analysis of the Pasuk. The Rav Papa Rami, Rav Papa raises what would appear to be a type of contradiction. Ksiv, on the one hand, it says ki itain, which means if you, and what ksiv means, if you look at the letters without vowelization, if you looked at the letters, let's say in a vacuum without a tradition concerning its vowelization, it says ki yitain, which means fruits become mukhshir when you put water on them, v'karinon. And yet when it comes to the traditional reading of that phrase, we read ki yutan, means that the fruits had water upon them, had water placed upon them. Notice more in a passive sense, where you didn't actively put the water on them. So how do you resolve the two? What is the Torah's expectation? Does Hechsher come about only when I physically put the water on the fruits? Or even if the fruits became wet without my having actively placed the water on them. So, how do you resolve? Halkates that. How is this to be resolved? Bo'inon, we require ki yutan dumyo dechi yitain. The passive exposure of the fruits to the water shall be with the same standard as you're actively placing the water on the fruits. Ma itain ledas, just like when you put the water on the fruits, you're doing so proactively with your knowledge, with your awareness and approval. Af ki yutan, so too, in the passive sense where water got on the fruits, nami ledas, it has to be also with your approval, with your satisfaction. We take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top, Ladas, Sheyeda Banasina Vuhukshabainov. You're aware of the water being on the fruits and you're happy with it. Vyodeo Hatalalayan Adayan Hain Binasinoso. Now this Rashi is a Rashi that demands, that expects of us the ability to appreciate things in an abstract sense. Notice how Rashi began when he said Ladas Shieda Benesina. The owner of the fruits has to be aware of the water being placed upon them. And it doesn't It doesn't mean awareness of water that had been in the past upon them. That we said before, according to the source, which is governed by the pasuk, that doesn't help. You have to have a situation of adayin hein b'nisina so, that the fruits are still in the state of the water being upon them, so that even though the water fell upon the fruits without the owner proactively putting the water there, but as long as the fruits are still wet, that conforms to the pasuk standard of ki yutan, or if you will, ki yitain. However, if the fruits became dried off, even though water had been upon them, and only later on you discover that they had been wet and you're happy about it, nevertheless, the fruits are nevertheless lacking the fulfillment of ki yutan. They're not, as Rashi says, they're not benesinosai. Just to reiterate the main point, the source involving the fruits in Hechsher L'Kabel Tuma, that topic is governed by a specific Torah requirement of ki yutan mayim al zera. But in the case of a found item that when it fell from the owner he was not aware and later on he became aware, that particular topic is not governed by a specific verse like the case of the defilement issue, and therefore Rava will tell you in that case the subsequent revelation of the owner surrendering hope of recovering his item does shed light retroactively upon the time that the individual found that item, and he is able to rely on the subsequent expression of Yeush on the part of the owner. And now, our final triangle in this series of questions. And the triangle, you'll notice, once again is inverted. So we have another question against Rava. Toshma v'yomer Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Yishmael ben Yehoitzadok. We have the following taught in the name of Rabbi Yishmael ben Yehoitzadok. Minayin laveda sheshot fanor shehi muteres. From where do we know that a lost article that's washed away by a river, that you're entitled, upon finding it, you can keep it? Dichtiv, we have a pasuk, and before we go further, just do note that we have a long marking here, that in order to see the Kashan Rav, we have to go through quite a few lines of Gemara. In the pasuk, it says, regarding the topic of lost and found, it says, V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoiroi, v'chein ta'aseh l'simloso, thus you shall do to his donkey. If you find someone's animal wandering around, or if you find someone's simla, someone's garment, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedas achicha, asher toivad mimenu umotzasa, and thusly you shall do to anything that's lost, mimenu, from him, and you find it. Rashi, four lines from the top, says, mimenu kro yisei rohu. This word, mimenu, represents an extra phrase, an extra word, to inform us, she'eno avud elo haimenu. The pasuk is conveying the idea that the item is lost only from the owner. Other people see it, other people are aware of it, have access to it. The owner alone lost it. So now we continue in the Gemara. When is an aveda, a lost article, subject to the laws of it having to be returned? When do we say that the lost article is something that the finder cannot keep? That which is lost only from the owner, but found by everyone else. Everyone else has access to it, sees it, is aware of it, can reach it. Yotza zu, to the exclusion of this case of an item washed away by the river. Shavuda mimenu ve'enu mitzuya. It's a kolonim. It's lost from the owner and it's not available to the general public. So from there, we learn that an item swept away by the river, since it's we'll say, lost to everybody, if you happen to chance upon it, you can take it and keep it. We continue. V'isura dumya dehetera. We say that which is prohibited. We can infer that which is allowed. Rashi, on the first narrow line of the Rashi commentary, v'isur dumya dehetera, kevon demechad kro yalfinon mitsuya etzel kol odom shiachzor v'she'ena mitsuya yizkeba. From the same pasuk, we learn that which is available to all others must be returned. That which is not found by all others, you can keep it. Iskushi iskush al hadadi zu li sura v'zu la tera. So we see that that which is forbidden is taught together with that which is allowed. So we call that a hekish. The topics are compared to one another. Now we continue. In the Gemara text, ma hetera, just like that which you are allowed to keep, bein de ispa simen, bein de lespa simen shara, regardless of whether it has an identification mark on it or not, you can keep it. We can emphasize, even if it has an identification mark on it, since it was washed away by the river, it's not accessible to anybody, you can keep it. Af isura, likewise, when discussing that which you cannot keep, bein de is ba simen u bein de les ba simen asura. Whether it has an identification mark, or even if it doesn't have an identification mark, you cannot keep it. And here we must emphasize, if something doesn't have, a lost item doesn't have an identification mark, you could rest assured that the original owner is going to give up hope on it. But yet you see that unless it's a situation where it's washed away by the river, rather, it's a situation that the general public finds it. What are they finding? They're finding an article that doesn't have an identification mark on it, or a sign that can be offered by the owner describing it as his. The owner will give up on it when he discovers it's lost. You, the finder, nevertheless, cannot keep it. It's forbidden for you to keep it. You cannot rely on the subsequent surrender of the owner, the subsequent relinquishing of the owner of ever hoping to find it. That is against Rava. Tiufta de Rava, is this then to be viewed as a rejection of Rava? Tiufta, yes, this is a rejection of Rava. Vehilchiso kavose d'abai b'nyeril kigam. And the law will follow Abai in six cases throughout the Talmud. Generally speaking, when you have a disagreement in halacha between Abai and Rava, we follow the opinion of Rava. There are six, we'll say, outstanding or exceptions to that rule that we follow Rava, and they are featured by this acronym Ya'al Kigam. You notice in our Markumos we've highlighted with a double underline the Yud that represents the law of Yeush Shelo Midas. Rashi cites the other cases. It's not essential for us to make reference to them, but they exist throughout the Shas. You'll encounter the additional five cases where we rule like Abai over Rava. But regarding the topic of Yeush Shelo Midas, we will follow Abaye's, in this case, it happens to be the more restrictive, the strict opinion that you cannot keep it. Omar le Rav Acha Brei de Rava le Rav Ashi. V'chimei Achar di Toisiv Rava. Rav Acha asks Rav Ashi, now that Rava, his opinion has been rejected, Hani Tamri de Zika. Hechi achlinon lehu. Tamri are dates, the zika, that are blown off the trees by the wind. I find dates on the ground that were blown off by the wind. how is it that we take them and eat them? After all, the owner initially was unaware, so that when I'm picking up the dates, I don't know that the owner has given up hope on it yet. How do we eat them? Rashi says, Hechi achlinalu, ha lo me'aish. He hasn't given up hope. Ha denoka, l'mivibayo me'achad etoisiv rovo. Rashi goes on, kashi, with a question that he raises, that even without the question on Rava, this question could be raised. But let us continue in the Gemara itself. The question being, how is it that we eat the dates found on the ground when the owner hasn't necessarily given up hope? He's not aware that that they're not on his trees anymore. Omar Lay, so Ravashi answers, Kevon the ikoshkotsum rumotsin, the ka'achli luhu, since there are all kinds of creepy crawler creatures, shkotsum rumotsin, that eat these dates, me'ikora ye'ushi miayish minayu. At the outset, and Rashi points out, even before they fall off the trees, the owner gives up hope on those that were blown off by the wind. The owner knows that the wind blows and knocks dates off the trees. And those dates that are knocked off the trees are eaten by these creepy crawler creatures. And as just to repeat, therefore at the outset, you have a situation of yeush, of owner surrender. And therefore, even therefore, it's not relevant to the opinion of Rava, who was arguing with Abaye. They were arguing over situations where there isn't initial yeush. Here you have initial yeush, and therefore there's no problem. The Gemara asks, Yasmi, orphans, delav b'nei mechila ninumai. The fruits that you find on the ground, maybe they belonged to orphans. Orphans are understood to be ktanim. Rashi says minors. Their hefker, their declaration or renouncement of ownership, doesn't have any validity or any legal value. So maybe the dates that I find are from trees belonging to those, to orphans, people that don't have the capability of relinquishing ownership. They don't have the mindset for that. Omar Lay, so Ravashi answers, Baiga Ba'ara Diyasmi Lo Machzikinon. An entire Baga. Baga is a valley, an entire region. We don't ascribe it. We don't assume it to be owned by orphans. There might be orphans in the area, but the vast majority of the trees there are belong to adults who do have this mindset of yeush at the outset. The Gemara asks, Musuk v'oimed mai, krachto mai. What about an area that we know is owned by orphans? Or a krachta, Rashi explains, krachta, my, dekolim. We're looking at Rashi together in the Rashi commentary, a few lines down from here. Krachta, my, dekolim ha-kruchim u-mukofim begedu shel avonim saviv. Palm trees that are surrounded by stone fences that do not allow the shkotzim u-remosim to penetrate. She'en shkotzim u-remosim nichnosim shamwer. The dates that fall will remain intact, not consumed by these creatures. What would the din be then? The logic that underlies initial owner relinquishing and surrender is because of his awareness that they'll be consumed by the creatures. But in a case of trees protected, surrounded by fences, impenetrable fences, they don't have that factor. So the Gemara says, you're right. Omar le asiran. if you, in both of those cases, if you know that the dates come from land owned by, or trees growing in land owned by orphans, or you have trees that are surrounded by the these impenetrable fences, you're not entitled to keep them. The owner does not. There is no yeush in those cases. Krichos birushas haravim arei elu shelo. We saw in the Mishnah that sheaves of grain that you find in a public thoroughfare, you can keep them. At this point, we are beginning a very long discussion. Very long, meaning it continues, this discussion will continue to the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. It's one, basically one continuous discussion till that point. On the side of the Gemara, we've introduced some points. I would like to also mention, by way of us, a general disclaimer regarding this Gemara as it relates to Gemara markings. You will find the Gemara is heavily marked, especially Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. It's extensive use of markings. The true appreciation of the value of these markings is experienced only when you are reviewing the Gemara. I'm not sure if the initial read-through, the initial exposure to this Gemara during that time, that you'll be able to truly appreciate what we're trying to accomplish with the extensive marking that we have. That having been said, we glance at the side of the Gemara, where we introduce a couple of points. Number one, we've noted simin ha'asui lidras, a identification mark on an item that is subject to being trampled. In other words, an item lying in a public thoroughfare, though the item upon its initial fall to the ground has something identifiable about it, but in the course of time, people are going to trample upon it. That's lidras. The race is to stamp upon, to trample upon, to walk upon something. That will erode, it will erase or eradicate the sign. That's called simin ha'asui lidras. What value does that kind of simin have in our eyes? Machlokes Rabba v'Rava. We'll see a disagreement between these two great figures. What could frustrate some people in learning this Gemara, where the main parties in disagreement are Rabba and Rava, is that their names sound and appear very similar. So we're going to be using markings along the way to highlight the names, helping them to stand out so that you can see, and also using symbols in opposite directions to hopefully highlight the disagreement along the way. So regarding the simin ha'asui lidras, we're going to point out that according to Rabba, it doesn't count as a simin, and according to Rava, it's considered a simin. It's something the owner would rely on. And a second point of discussion that will arise in the upcoming Gemara, e mokim havi simin. The identification of place of item being found, can that serve as a simin? Concerning mokim, there's a big machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos in how to understand the Gemara. At this point in time, at least at this introductory stage, we're going to be following the presentation made by Tosfos, and that would be where the finder announces that he found a lost item, and the owner would be expected to say as a sign the place in which it was found, so that according to Tosfos, the one who's mentioning place is actually the owner of the item, saying where it was lost. The other approach involves someone announcing the place that the item, the finder would announce the place in which it was found, and the owner would have to give some kind of sign. The under our structural note, under our, the Mivneh, you notice we have written the Inyan Simen Ha'Asli Lidrus. Diamonds will appear with colored in tips, with the top part colored in a kasha on Rava, and the inverted diamond will represent a kasha on Rabba. Now, these diamonds are, I would say, are of central importance for appreciating the Gemara. So before we even get into the Gemara text, try to note where do these special diamonds appear. So the first diamond you can see is just a few lines after the beginning of this sugya, a few lines down. There's a long question marking. You see Tnan followed by Krichus, Vishus Rabbim, etc. That's the first diamond. And that is going to be, as we said, a kasha on Rava. The next diamond where the lower part is shaded in, you'll notice is at Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, about eight lines from the top. So just to note structurally where these two questions appear, one focused against Rava and the second one focused against Rabba. It's good to see the structure ahead of time. We'll be using a circle to highlight the word Alma, which it represents the climax of the questions, so that even before going into the text, if you notice the first diamond beginning, it said Tnan Krichos, and we said that's a question that's going to be focused against Rava. You drop down a few lines where it says Alma's circle, and what does it say in the Gemara text at that point? It says Alma's Simen Osi Lidras Lo Havi Simen. That kind of sign that's subject to being trampled does not constitute a Simen. Tiufta the Rava, and we squiggle underline that Tiufta to show how at that point we've concluded our question on the opinion of Rava. The same style marking appears on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Toshma, the diamond, appears. There you'll see the circle appearing a few lines later. Amo Simen also address Havi Simen. And that's Tufta de Rabba. Just the opposite of what we're saying here. In other words, there will be raising a question on Rabba. In addition, there are some markings that we also account for. You'll see that the Rabba opinion is featured with geometric forms with the point facing upwards. We have a triangle highlighting Rabba, and then later we'll have a house shape highlighting Rabba. They are used to highlight his opinion. The inverted form of those geometric forms will be highlighting Rava. So that in the triangle, point facing up, Simen Osi Lidras Lo Havi Simen, that is Rabba's position. And the house marking deals with the topic of Mokalim Eino Simen. And with Rava, the inverted triangle highlights the Shita, that Simen Osi Lidras is a Simen. And the inverted house will highlight Rava's opinion that Mokalim Havi Simen. Now the Gemara text. Krichos b'rishus harabim harei elushala. We saw in the Mishnah that sheaves of grain found in a public domain, you can keep. Omar Rabba. V'afilu b'dover shiyesh bo simen. Even sheaves of grain that have an identification mark on them, something identifiable about them, you can keep it. Alma kosova Rabba. This shows us that Rabba holds. Simen ha'asri lidras lo havi simen, a sign that is ultimately going to be trampled upon is not considered a sign. It's not something that the owner would rely on. The owner will figure that if I attempt to offer the identification mark, it's not going to exist anymore. Rashi says lo havi simen. Rashi a few lines down from here says Shane Bailov Soymich Losseis Boy Simen, the owner is not going to rely on that to offer as a sign of his ownership. Meymar Omar, he will figure Nishchas Hasimin Bedrisas Haraglayim. It's been eroded by those trampling, walking over it. Rava, we continue in the Gemara, Rav Amar, Lo Shanu Elo Bedover Shein Bo Simin. The Mishnah that taught regarding the sheaves, you, that you can keep them, that's when the sheaves have no identification on them. Avol Bedover Sheish Bo Simin Chayav Lahachris. If you find in a public area krichos that have a simin on them, you cannot keep them. You have to announce the finding of them and rely on the real owner come forth and give his simin indicating his ownership. Alma kosovar Rava. Rava is of the opinion simin asli lidras have a simin, that such a situation, even though it's likely that it will be trampled on, nevertheless, owners will rely on that to get their item in return. The Ika Demasni Loha Shmaitza Ba'anpi Nafsha. It's another version where the Machlokis between Rabba and Rava is not taught as a commentary on the Mishnah, but in and of itself. Simen Asi Lidras, using as a title to their discussion the issue of a simen that is likely to be trampled. Rabba Omar Lo Have a Simen. Rabba says that does not constitute a simen, and Rava Omar Have a Simen. Rava says that it is something that you can rely on, and therefore, in order to explain the Mishnah of your keeping the krichos, you'll have to say, like Rava said, it did, these krichos didn't have a sign on them to begin with. And now a question. Tanan. Krichos, these small sheaves, it's our Mishnah, of course, from Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, Birshus Arabim, Hare Eli Shelo. If you found them in a public domain, you can keep them. Birshus Hayochid Neitel Amachris. If you find them in a private domain, you take them and announce that there's a lost item, and the owner should come forth. Hechi domi, what are the circumstances? Ideles behu simin, if they have no identification mark to begin with. Birshus hayochid mai machris, those that were found in a private area, what could be announced? Rashi says, "Hochi garsinon ideles behu simin birshus hayochid mai machris klomar." What klomar is a very important word when you're learning Rashi. Basically means avoid a literal translation and explain a little further beyond the literal translation. So when the Gemara says my machris, you don't simply translate of, well, what will you announce? But klomar, ki machris ze motza aveda, when the finder announces, I found a lost item. My machris, what can he announce? Shiyuchal litain ha'oived simen ba. What type of announcement can he make that will enable the owner, the one who lost it, to offer as a sign of his ownership? So, again, if you say that these sheaves found in a private domain, that the source, the Mishnah, speaks about sheaves without a sign on them, so then what kind of announcement would be made that would enable the owner to give a sign when it has no sign? Elolav di isbuhu simen. Rather, it must be that these sheaves have something identifiable about them. The Kotoni, Bishus Rabba Mare, Elu Shelo. And it says, you found these grains, these sheaves of grain, that are identifiable as to whom. As being owned or can be identified by the owner, and it says you in the Mishnah you can keep them. Almost simin asli lidras, a simin, a sign, identification mark that is going to be trampled. After all, if they're found in a public domain, people will trample on it, and you can keep it. Lo have a simin, so that it doesn't serve as a simin. And therefore the owner isn't going to be relying on offering that sign in order to get it back. Tufta de Rava, this is a Tanaic source that would seem to refute Rava's opinion. Omar loch Rava le'olam deles behu simin. Rava says that the source, the Mishnah, is speaking about sheaves of grain that don't have a sign on it. Udeko amres b'shus ayochid my machriz. And if you'll ask then, what's the nature of the announcement that's made when you're dealing with a private domain? Machriz mokoim. You'll make an announcement. Now, according to the way Tosfos learns this, you'll make an announcement that something was found. You might even say that grains were found, and the owner will say where it was found. It was found in this particular Rishus Hayachid. Rashi himself learns Machriz Mokoim. If you look at Rashi a few lines down from here, V'eino Machriz Shem HaAveda. According to Rashi, the announcer, the finder, isn't going to say what was lost. Ela Shem HaMokom. Mi Sha'avda Mimenu HaAveda B'Mokoim Ploni. So and whoever lost an item in such and such a place, Yavoi V'Yoimar Ma'ibed. He should come forth and say what he lost. And the owner will come forth and say, Avadati Shom Chepetz Ploni. I lost such and such item over there. So as far as Rava is concerned, the Mokoim constitutes a simen, a way of identification. That's Rava's opinion. The Rabba Omar Mokoim Lo Have Simen. And regarding Rabba's point of view, Mokom does not constitute a simen. You'll notice we have a bracketed section, and we note with our starred note on the side, Miad Achre Sagraim, a Gemara, Maksha al Rabba. The Gemara will, after the bracket section, raise a question on Rabba, Umare, the simen Asli Lidros have a simen. So that after the bracketed section, we're going to continue with our focus on their machlokas regarding simin osli lidras. Within the brackets, the Gemara focuses on the issue of mokoim. And we already saw that there's a machlokas, Rav and Rabba, regarding mokoim. So now that having been said, we continue with the bracketed section, the itmar mokoim. The idea of citing a place and it serving as the identification for the owner to retrieve his item. Rabba Omar lo have a simen. Rabba says place doesn't constitute a sign. And Rav Omar have a simen, that the noting of the place does constitute a simen. Toshma krichos b'rishus harabim harei elu shelo. Again, our Mishnah, the sheaves found in the public domain, you can keep. There, you can't keep it, you take it and announce. Valumos, large sheaves, bein b'rishus harabim, bein b'rishus hayochid, noitel u'machriz. Whether it be in a public domain or a private domain, an emphasis here is even in a public domain, you cannot keep it. You as the finder, take it and announce the finding of these lost large grains. Rabba hechi metaretz lo, v'rava hechi metaretz lo. How does Rabba explain this, and how does Rava explain this? We take a look at the Rashi, Rabba hechi metaretz lo, Rashi right under the Gemara text. Rabba di Omar, Taimo di Rishus Rabim, why in the Rishus Rabim can you keep it? Mishum de Nidras, because the sign that was on them would have been trampled. My Shno Alumos, what's different about the large ones that in the Tanaic source it says there you've got to announce you can't keep it. The Rava the Moikim Likrichos, and Rava, who set up the source regarding the small sheaves, Kishain by Simon, there's no sign on them, that's why you can keep it. My Shno Krichos, my Shno Alumos. Why the distinction between the small ones and the large ones? So here we're then setting up the Gemara for how Rava and how Rabba will deal with the with this Tanaic source. Rabba mitaritz l'tamei b'simin, Rava mitaritz l'tamei b'mokim. And again, we look at Rashi. Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Rabba mitaritz l'tamei, the taima, the rishus hayachid, the krichos, the reason in the private domain regarding the krichos that you must announce, mishum simin, ubedavar shiyesh bo simin. As we said, it's something that has, they do have a sign, something identifiable about those grains. Rava, we said, explains the source based on mokum. Rashi says, b'mokum taima the krichos, b'rishus hayochid, mishum mokum ubedavar she'ein bo simin. The chance of return when found in a private domain is based on the location where the owner can cite where it was found, and as we saw before, we're dealing with grains that have no simen on them. Now, as we look ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice we've double underlined Rabo mitaretz letamei b'simen, and then you notice there's a dashed frame. This is an unusual marking by way of Gemara markings, but the dashed frame is shows that we're not showing you a real Tanaic source, but rather it's Rabba's understanding of the Tanaic source, and in accordance with the explanation we gave dealing with Simon. And on the fourth line from the top of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, you notice it says Rava Mitaritz Lamei, Rava explains the Tanaic source B'mokim, namely you're dealing with grains that have no identifiable sign to them, but the mokom will serve as the means of identification for the owner. And again, following Rava, four lines from the top of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, again you see a framed dash frame section, his presentation of the Tanaic source, which deals with krichos on the one hand and the alumos, the large sheaves, on the other. Following that, you notice again the diamond, which introduces our next question back onto the topic of Simin Osli Lidras. Now, the Gemara, second line from the bottom, Rabba mitaritz l'tamei b'simin. Rabba will explain the Tanaic source, focusing on simin, meaning that the items, the krichos featured in the source, have a simin on them. Krichos b'rishus harabim harei elu sheloi. The krichos found in the public domain you can keep. Mishum the midras, we're continuing at the top of Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, the midrasah, they will be trampled. And a simin ha'osui lidras, according to Rabba, is not a simin. Birshus hayochid, in a private domain, no tailor makras, the finder takes them and makes an announcement about the finding of a lost item. The lo midrasah, because there the simin isn't going to be trampled. It's in a private domain, there aren't many people walking by. Voalumois, the large sheaves of grain, bein b'rishus harabim, bein b'rishus hayochid, noitel u'machriz, whether it be in a private domain or a public domain, the finder does not keep it. He announces that a lost item was found. Kevon de gvion, since they're high, they're large, lo midrash, so they won't be trampled. Namely, even in a public domain, the simin there is not osli lidras. It's a legitimate simin. If it was osli lidras, so we saw Rabba says that is something you would not rely on. But these are large grains; they're not going to be trampled. The Rava mitaretz litamei b'mokim. According to Rava, the Tanaic source is dealing with grains. There is no simin on them, though, and the only chance of recovery on the part of the owner would be his ability to cite where they were found, according to the Tosfos explanation that we gave before. Krichos, the small sheaves, Brushos Arabim, Hare, Elu, Shelo, they are yours for the keeping. You found them, you can keep them. The Min Shtifa, Rashi, the Mishnah on the top line, the Mishnah is Galgel, Beragle, Odom, Uvehema, they're literally rolled around, they're kicked around by the people and animals that walk by. Vieno nimseis b'mokim shenofla tchila. Where you find the krichos, the small grains, the place of finding is not where they fell. So that there's no chance here of the owner identifying his grains based on where he lost them, because they're not where he lost them anymore. Pirshus hayachid, if you find the krichos, no sign on them, you find them in a private domain, chayav lahachriz, delo mishtefa, you have to announce the finding of the lost item. There, they are where the owner lost them or fell from him. So he, the owner, can say, oh, the found item is in such and such a place, a rishus hayachid, that would help, that will identify them as being his. Voalumos, the large grains, bein birshus arabim, bein birshus hayochid, noitilu machriz, even in a public domain and certainly in a private domain, the finder takes it and announces the finding of the lost item. Kevon diakiri, since they're heavy, lo mishtafa, they won't be kicked around. Even in a public domain, they will remain where the initial loss or falling took place. So the owner could offer as identification where in the public domain this was found. Ta Shema. And as we introduced earlier, the Gemara goes back to the topic of Simina Osli Lidras, Machlokas Rabo and Rava. This diamond represents a kasha on Rabba. Note, we have a long question marking. Toshma, Kikri Shel Nachtoim Hare Elu Shelo. The standard form of baked loaves, standard breads, if you find it, you can keep it. Now, we infer, Ha Shel Balabayas Chayav Lachris. If you find home baked loaves, you would have to announce its finding and you couldn't keep it for yourself. Shabalabayas my time. Why is that the case that you can't keep it? Kevon de isbahu simin, since they're identifiable. De meida yadia rifto de inish hu. People who home bake loaves, each one has his own way of forming the loaf. So meida yadia, it's known rifto, the loaves, each person as he makes it. Velo shno rishus harabim, velo shno rishus hayochid noitel amachris. Regardless of where you found these home-baked loaves, whether it's in a private domain or even a public domain, the finder takes it and announces Alma. Now, let's emphasize here the Rishus HaRabim. So you found that even in a Rishus HaRabim, Alma, Simen Osli Lidras, Havi Simen, the Simen that will be trampled. After all, in a public thoroughfare, people, animals are going to walk over it, and yet you cannot keep it. That means there's something for the owner to identify, even though it's that kind of identification that will be trampled, eroded, erased. Tiyufta de Rabba. This would then present a refutation, a challenge to Rabba. So the Tanaic source, the Mishnah that speaks of the inference from the Mishnah, which technically speaking is in the Mishnah on Daf Chof Hey, there it's spelled out, and Rashi points that out. You see that the private loaves, even in a public domain, are subject to be returned. That is a problem for Rabba. Omar Loch Rabba. Rabba will tell you that a simen osu lidras really is not a reliable simen. Bahasam hainu taimo, thereby the loaves, the reason for their return and not keeping of them by the finder, hainu taimo, mishum de'ein ma'avirin al ha'oichlin, people do not walk over food. Rather, if they see food, they will pick it up. They don't leave it there. So that it's not a case of a simen ha'osu lidras. Rashi on the second narrow line says, "Ein mavir na loichlin, hamotze echlin baderech, ein rashoi lavor aleim lanicham sham." Person who finds food on the way isn't allowed, isn't entitled to just leave it there. Hilkoch, so since he's not going to just leave it there, he's going to pick it up. Hilkoch lo nidrasu. They're not going to be trampled. Shemi shematzon rishon igbian. He who finds it first picks it up. So the private loaves have their identification nature all the time, even in a public domain. They're not going to be trampled because of ein mavir in ala uchlin. Question, v'ha'ikon nochrim, but there are Gentiles that don't abide by that regulation. The Gemara says, nochrim chayshi likshofim. Gentiles will not pick up, they won't trample over it. They might walk by it, but not going to trample over it because their concern, maybe food left in a public area is bewitched, is kshofim, is black magic, that it would basically be dangerous to trample over it. Question, v'ika behemo klovim, there are animals and dogs. The Gemara says that our Mishnah is speaking ba'asra de lo shchichi behemo klovim, in a place that they're not common. There are only people there, and the kikush shabal bayis, therefore, even in a public domain, are not trampled upon. They're not. It's not a case of simen ha'asli lidros to begin with. So there's no kasha on Rabba Lema Ketanoi. Here we have a long question marking. Shall we say that the machloikis between Rabba and Rava is a Tanaic disagreement? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Dovar Shiesh Bo Shinui Chayov Lahachriz. Rabbi Yehuda, we saw in our Mishnah, anything that has some unusual aspect to it, some change, some difference to it, even though you're dealing with basically a standard item, we saw in the Mishnah, and here it's quoted, Ketzad. And concerning such an item, Chayav Lachriz, it has to be announced. You can't keep it. What does it say? What is an example of this? Motza igul b'sichri cheres. If you find pressed figs in and inside it, there is a shard. Kikar u'b'sichri mois. Or you find a loaf, and within the loaf, you find coins. Michlal the Tanakama sovar harei l'shelo. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said you have to announce. Rabbi Yehuda is coming on the heels of a first opinion in the source, and they are arguing. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't come in to say something that the Tanakama, that the earlier source, agrees with. He's coming to offer a dissenting opinion. So the Tanakama would say that you can keep them. Now, here we have a diamond, and this diamond is explained on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading. And we're right now in the middle of a Nisoyon. I'm reading the comment on the side. Nisoy Lamid Machlikis Rabba Varova, an attempt to establish the Amoraic controversy between Rabba and Rava, being in Simon Osu, just regarding the simon that is trampled, that's trampled, kemachlikis tanoyim, as a tanaic disagreement. The diamond, savrua, highlights shnei lishoinis. You notice in our Gemara text, on the side of the Gemara text, there's a diamond aleph. If you skim down to the lower part of the narrow lines, you'll see a diamond beis. There are two lishoinis, two versions, benisoyin la'as bir machlikis tanoyim, attempts to explain the machlokas tanoim. In the first attempt, we're going to try to show that a Rabba and Rava regarding Simon Osirus is a machlokas tanoim. The crown shape that we will see shortly, komifli, highlights that expression. Hesber le machlokas tanoim b'mikre de motza kiko b'sechim mois. At that point in the Gemara, we're going to be featuring the explanation of the Tanaic controversy in a case that you find a loaf and inside there are coins. What is going to be the basis of the Machlokes Tanoim? So the first Lashon, the first stage, will be Simon Osli Litras, that is the Machlokes Tanoim. The very Machlokes between Rabba and Rava is the Machlokes Tanoim. However, as we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see alternatives to that. That really, the Machlokas Tanoim concerns something else. Not Simen Osli Lidras. Simen Osli Lidras, whether you, according to Rava, all Tanoim will agree with his opinion. According to Rabba, all Tanoim will agree with his opinion. So what's the Machlokas? So that's what number two represents. And when you... that would be that they're arguing over something else. Simen HaBoy Me'elov, a simen that you didn't place in there, but it fell on its own. Could that constitute a simen? A third point over which they might be arguing. Mavirin ala Eichlin. Do you walk over, do people walk by food? Walk over food, trample food? The house shape that you see will highlight the expression my love. Havamina, when you see that shape, that house shape, it represents the introduction of a Havamina de Bozer Chokim HaTanoim, the initial thinking of that this is the Machlokas Tanoim. And that will become much clearer when we go into the Gemara text itself. And you'll then see Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava highlighted with a bow tie shape. He appears in the Gemara, Bal Lidchos es the house my love. In other words, we present what we think is a Tanaic controversy. He comes in to dispel that. And when he comes to dispel that, we'll see then how he offers the explanation of the Machlokas Tanoim. And you'll see a triangle, v'hacha, ha-moker sheboi Rabbi Yehuda choylek al Tanakama. That triangle will be a throwback, when it says hacha here, it's a throwback to this Tanaic controversy that opens our discussion between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Now I'm aware that this introduction is vague, it's abstract, but nevertheless, There's a purpose to these markings, and we mentioned earlier you'll appreciate them much more when you go through the review stage of the Gemara. So now we presented the beginning of the question of Lema Ketanoi. We read the Tanaic source regarding the item with that as a shinui in it. The Tanakama says you can keep it. Rabbi Yehuda says you've got to announce it. What are the details? What are the circumstances? So we continue now with the first diamond that's marked Aleph, Savrua. The initial thinking is, and whenever you see in the Shas Savrua, in almost all cases, there's an exception in Bava Basra and Maseches Nedarim, but outside of that, almost all the time, it will be changed, rejected later, and that's what's going to happen here too. But in the meantime, Savrua, the initial thinking is the Kule Alma, that Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda both agree, Simen habo me'elov have simen. A simen that literally came on its own. There's a discussion in Rashi, and Tosfos cites Rashi and offers an alternative pirush. If you look in the last Tosfos on the page, Simen habo me'elov have simen, pirush Rashi, something that could fall on its own and you discover it there, according to the opinion that says that a simen abomev is a simen, it means it didn't just fall there, it was placed there. But that's difficult. If you find coins in a baked loaf, that's not normal that someone put them over there. Eloyesh lomar, De'emur yoda shenoflu lo sham. That we're talking about someone that was aware that coins had fallen. In other words, they weren't placed there deliberately, but they fell on their own, and the owner was aware that they were there. That would be simen habo me'elov, is a simen. Umandar malo have a simen, kevan de regilus lovo me'elov, since it's something that can happen on its own. Mistama lo yada, most likely he didn't know about it. Even the ain shein nikur bachud, since it's not something that's externally visible. But in the meantime, we go back to our Gemara and say that Everyone agrees that a siman abom elov would be a real sign. That's one point that is unanimous. And a second point of agreement, umavirin ala oichlin, people walk over food. So if that's the case, what are the Tanoim arguing about? My love, b'simen, also litras komifligi, is it not so that the machlokas Tanoim concerns relying upon a sign that's trampled? More so, the Tanakamu said that the eagle with the cheres in it, the pressed figs with the shard, or the loaf with the coins in it, and the Tanakama says you can keep them because a sign that would be trampled, lo havi simen, it's not considered a sign that an owner would rely on. Umor sovar havi simen, and Reb Yehuda says it does constitute a simen. So by saying that, we've then set up a machlokas tanoim, which is then paralleled by the later machlokas amoroyim, where the Tanakama would be the opinion upon which Rabba would be based. Rabba says simen also just is not a simen, and Rava would be based upon the earlier opinion of Rebbe Yehuda, the Tano Rebbe Yehuda. Omar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. It's important to note that Zvid is quoting Rava. Rava said that a simen ha'asli lidras is a good simen. So Rav Zvid quotes Rava, and we've mentioned many times in Gemara markings that it's not to the advantage of an Amora to have his point of view the subject of a Tanaic controversy. An Amora likes to feel that what he says is agreed upon by all Tanoim. So Rav Zvid quotes Rav and says, "E salka daitach de kosover Tanakamo simen osi lidras lohavi simen umavirna oichlin." If as you explained a moment ago that the Tanakama who says you can keep it is of the opinion that a trampled simen is not a simen, and that people trample over food, if that is the opinion of the Tanakama, then kikris shabalabayas b'shus harabim amay machris. Why do we learn in our Mishnayos that privately produced loaves found in a public domain are to be announced? There's nothing left after the sign is trampled. People walk over the food and they trample it. What's there to announce? Elo omar Rav Zvid mishmei derava de kulei alma savri. All Tanoim agree. Simen osli lidras havi simen. Something that would be trampled nevertheless constitutes a simen. A sign that something that people will trample upon does constitute a sign, which is Rava's opinion. And you notice all Tanoim will agree with me. And what else will everyone hold by? People umavirin ala oichlin. People walk over food. Now, even so, the kikros of the balabayas, the privately produced loaves, are your machris. Why are you machris? If people trample over them, why are you machris? Because simen osi lidros is a simen. That's the very point that Rava is trying to make. So with that, we understand why kikris shalabayas in the Rishus HaRabim you cannot keep, because a simen osi lidros is a good sign, something the owner will rely on and is not misyayish from. What about the machlokas? If you're going to say that all Tanoim agree that simen osli lidros is a simen, so then what's the machlokas above between Tanakam and Reb Yehuda? V'hacha b'simen habo me'elov kol miflugi. Their machlokas in... Now notice we have a little star to the side of the Gemara text. This is to enable you to connect this with the source above where the star appears on the side of the Gemara text. What's their machlokas in the source that dealt with Dover Sheyesh Bo Shinui? Their machlokas concern Simen Habo Me'elov. The unusual feature that could have fallen in on its own. The Tanakama Sovar, the Tanakamu says you can keep them, Sovar Simen Habo Me'elov, Lo Have Simen. As we saw before in the Taisvis, the owner isn't going to rely on that. Since it's something that could have happened on its own, it probably did happen on its own. It's not something noticeable on the outside, and therefore it's not regarded as a simon. It wasn't something that the owner is aware of. Rabbi Yehuda Savar have simon, that the simon abome elov constitutes a simon, that even though, according to, as we saw before in the Tosfos, even though it may have fallen on its own, the owner was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was aware of it. And he could offer that as a sign that the loaf you found has coins in it. The Rabbo Maloch, Rabbo, who, lest us not forget, held regarding the Simen Osli Lidras issue, the trampled Simen, according to Rabbo, is that does not constitute a Simen. So Rabbo Maloch, the Kule Alma, Simen Osli Lidras, lo have a Simen. All Tanoim agree with me that Osli Lidras type sign does not constitute a sign. The Ein Mavirin Al Ochlin, but people do not trample over food. People pick them up. So with that, we can understand why the private owned loaves, even in a public domain, have a sign yet to them, because it's not going to be trampled. The Hocha, what about the Machlokes Tanoim? How do we explain the Machlokes Tanoim according to Rabba? Again, we're referring to the source above, which spoke about found items that have some unusual feature to them. The Hocha B'Simen Abo Me'elov Komifligi. Their Machlokes concerns Simen Abo Me'elov. And by the way, this is the same as we saw Rava making in his presentation. Tanakamu Sovar Lo Have Simen. The Tanakamu says you can keep it. That does not constitute a sign. It fell on its own, and the owner isn't relying on that. He isn't even aware of it being there. Rebuta Sovar, the Rebuta says you have to Machriz Have Simen. That a Simen Abome Elov is a Simen. The owner is aware of it and can offer that as a sign. Ika Di Amri. Another version in attempting to explain the Machlokes Tanoim above. Basically, we're going to be citing all of the same, we'll say, variables, but you'll notice the difference. Iko Diami Savruha, that all agree. The Kuli Alma Simen Habo Me'elov Have Simen. Everyone is in agreement with that point, that a Simen that comes on its own constitutes a Simen. A simen that could have happened on its own constitutes a simen. The simen osli lidras lo have simen. According to this version, the simen osli lidras issue is not a machlokes tanoim, but everyone agrees that it does not constitute a sign. Now, I want to point out, by saying that, you're creating a problem for Rava. By saying it's not a sign, that's contrary to Rava. But in the meantime, the Machlokes Tanoim is not concerning that. So my lav, what then is their point of disagreement? B'mavirin ala oichlin komifligi, the issue of people walking over food. Before we go any further, I just want to point out the Rashi a few lines up from here. The Gemara that opened up, if you remember, we have a long question marking in the upper half of the page where it said Lema Katanoi. Let us say that it is a Machlokes Tanoim. What's the pronoun it? So before, we tried to say that the Machlokes Tanoim was the Machlokes between Rabba and Rava regarding Simen Osli Lidras. Here, things change. What is Lema Katanoi? The issue of whether or not Mavirin ala Oichlin. So now we go back to our Gemara text, and we say that once we establish that all Tanoim hold that Simen Abome Elov is a Simen, and a Simen Osu Lidras is not a Simen, so then what are they arguing about? So they're arguing about Mavirin ala Oichlin, Chomifligi, the Mor Sovar Mavirin, the Tanakama says people will trample over food items. And therefore, the eagle, with its shard in it, it would have been crushed. it's not identifiable anymore as something unusual, even though it's a simen abo mehelov, but it's trampled, and therefore it's not visible anymore. Therefore, you can keep it. More so, Reb Yudah says, "You're machriz. Why ain't machriz? Because people don't trample over it." Omer Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. I want to point out that from this point on till the third of the widest lines, we will see a Gemara that essentially is repeat word for word of the Gemara we saw above, at the point that the Botai above Haidein was Zvi Mishmei de Rava, the same Gemara appears now. Omer of Zvi Mishmei de Rava. If the Tanakama holds that a simen that's trampled does not constitute a simen, and that people walk over food items, and we use that information to explain why the Tanakama says that in the Dover Sheish Boshinu you can keep. Well, how are you going to explain Kikre Shabalabaya Sabrush Sarabha Mamai Machris, privately produced loaves that are found in a public area? What's left to announce about them? How is someone going to identify them if they're trampled? Elo Maravzvid Mishmei de Rava de Kule Almo, everyone agrees that Savri Simina Osi Lidras Havi Simin. And again, we emphasize this is Rava's original opinion. And here all Tanaim agree with me that simen that's going to be trampled constitutes a simen umavirin ala oichlin, and people will trample over food. But as far as Rava is concerned, so what, they trample over food, the kikros shel balabayis still you cannot keep, because simen osli lidras constitutes a legitimate identification mark. So if they Tanoim agree on these points, what do they argue over? They are arguing over that point. It's just like we saw above. The Tanakama saw our simen abo me'elov lo have simen, something that falls in on its own that might constitute something identifiable, but as far as the Tanakama is concerned, you can keep it. And therefore the eagle and the loaf with the bread with the coins in it, you can keep. Because simen abo me'elov, something that could have fell in on its own, you didn't put it there deliberately, the owner isn't aware of it to use that to even announce. Reb Yudah sovar have simen. Reb Yudah says that your machriz, it constitutes a simen. For Rabo Omar Loch, and just like we saw above, Rabo tells you the kulei almo, everyone, all the tanoim will agree with me. Simen also lidrash lo have a simen. Something that would be trampled does not constitute a simen. The aim of you not lochlin, but people do not trample over food. With that, we understand, like we said before, kikrus shabalabayis, privately owned loaves in a rishus rabim, still have their simen. It's not trampled to begin with, and therefore you cannot keep them. The hacha. Again, a reference back to that machlokas tanoim tanakam rebuted by the Dover Sheish Bo Shinui. The simen abo me'elov kamifli, they're arguing over that, a simen that happens on its own. Tanakama sovar simen abo me'elov lo have simen, and therefore the Tanakama says you can keep the eagle. Rebuted sovar have simen. According to Rebuted, it does constitute a sign, and therefore your noitel umachris. We went through this piece of more rather rapidly, simply because it is the same word for it, and we used a vertical dot line to indicate the pieces on the side that are identical to one another. Omer of Zvid Mishmei de Rava, Klolo da Vedita, a rule concerning lost articles. Kevon di Omar, once the owner says, Vai lo lechisorin kis, miayish le mino. That's a sign when he says, woe unto me, oh, what a loss. Chisorin kis means a financial loss. Woe unto me concerning the loss. That's his declaration of yeush, giving up hope on it. And by the way, Rava emphasized that even though when you found it, it was before the owner's declaration, nevertheless, you can keep it. But that's shitas Rava of yeush lo midas. The Omar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava Hilchasa Krichos, rules regarding the found sheaves. Birshus Harabim Harei Elu Shelo. If you find them in public domain, you can keep them. And again, this is Rava, as he explained earlier. There's no simen on these sheaves. So in a public domain, you can keep them. Birshus Hayochid. And if you find them in a private domain, I derech nefila harei lishlo. If you find them in a scattered fashion, as if they simply fell, they weren't placed there deliberately, you can keep them. I derech hanocha neitelu machris. If they were found in a deliberately placed fashion, you take them and announce. And what are you going to announce? The issue of mokoim, the issue of location. You will say that and we saw before with regard to Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn the issue of Mokim. You can announce that something was found, and the owner would come along and say where it was found. In both situations, we were dealing with the krichos that had no sign on them. Avol bedover sheyesh bo simin. If, however, they have a sign on them, something identifiable to them, lo shlo birshus rabim v'lo shlo birshus hayochid, it makes no difference whether it's a public domain or a private domain, bein derech nefila, bein derech hanocha, chayav lahachriz, whether it was just fallen astray, fallen astrewn, or in a placed fashion, you have to announce. And this is Rava l'shitasa. This is Rava consistent with what he said earlier, that a simon, osi lidras is a simon, that even if it's found in a public domain and it would be trampled, the sign nevertheless is something upon which the owner will rely. And therefore, you cannot keep it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.